Welcome to the Henry Town Public Hearing. November 21st, 7:05. Welcome everybody here, and we're gonna start with the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, the purpose of this meeting is to adopt the new subdivision policy that the Hanson Group, is that what they're called? The Hanson Group? Make sure I said that right. Has developed for us and for the new policies. I didn't see anything other in that that really pertained to individuals, unless they have 10 or more houses on their property. And any concerns with anybody present, not except that.
Melissa, did you want to discuss what comment that you had had, or what?
So Mary Ann Wright's husband called me Paul, and he, so on page 11, there is a clause in there that stipulates that there's only one meeting. So if somebody in town says, hey, I don't like the color you painted the house, they only get one meeting.
As in the complainers get one meeting?
Right, right. So he thought that wasn't okay. He thought that there should be at least two. And I said, what I told him was what this Mike Hanson told us was, it's already gonna be spelled out what we expect, what we set up as the criteria to build the 11 houses. And as long as they meet that, the people in town really can't come back and say, yeah, but we wanted this. Because tonight would have been the night that they would have come and said, I have concerns, or these are the things that I...
And I think where it says max review phases,
yeah,
they get four meetings leading up to the final.
They get to send...
Is that what I'm reading?
They get to send the paperwork back four times.
So they get five shots.
The builder. But the town, if the town had a gripe, they get one shot.
And
I think we really gotta, not to, or go ahead, Kim.
No, you're fine, go ahead.
I think the thing the part that's important to me is that the code is spelled out and they're following the codes. I have a deal that I'm working on now that I was approached of somebody who wants, they came to me and said, I need some more culinary and sewer hookups, was the message that I had. So I called them and they said, well, we want to put some RVs in. So I sent them the pictures of the book that showed up for the RV, which I've got four of them different calls in the last 6 months of now. Everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon, put an RV park in to strike it rich to house the solar guys.
Yeah.
So then he gets back to me and says, no, that's not what I want. I want something for the permanent ones. And I said, tell me, what are you doing? Well, I want to put some mini houses in on wheels. Which so I'm thinking that there's so many categories that you're not following the criteria on. First of all, it has to be zoned. Second of all, if we're having multiple sewer or culinary hookups, they have to be parceled separately. Mm-hmm. Third of all, we require them to be on permanent foundations, which that was the stipulation went through with Big Mountain. So there's all these So there were, there was one more that they didn't meet the criteria on, and his complaint was that it's my property. So I think we have enough rules to keep them, like, I don't think it's our business what our neighbor paints our house. It is our business if our neighbor builds something that is not up to code and it's gonna burn their house and our house down. That's the only way that I want public comment to be involved in that is, that's what the inspection process is about, is to make sure that it's built for, so it's safe for you and for your neighbor, that it doesn't blow over and land on theirs or doesn't burn down and burn down theirs. So I think there's enough of those processes in place that we can hold back the people who are not gonna do legit things.
But my question, the only thing I worry about that is, the only time that comes up is if they want water and sewer. Nowadays, they can truck in water, they can put solar panels on, and unless we create some different policy, they're gonna go dry camp.
And that's where I think your foundation, you're saying, permanently attached.
Yeah.
Because like when I built my house, I had to surrender my land and attach my house to it so that they could never be separated in my parcel. And yeah. So even though mine is mobile or could be again, it can't be. We signed paperwork saying we would never separate the house from the property.
Yeah, so
and is that something that we can do?
I say that, yeah, we focus on those kind of rules more than we give the public 10 different chances to come and make it hard on their neighbor because they don't like the neighbor.
Right.
That's not what it's about. We welcome people to build a house and to be in the community. We just don't want them coming in on houses on wheels and then fly out by night and leave an eyesore in town. So I'm okay with all the processes. They're given all of the other processes that we already have in place to make sure that they're following rules there. And of course, at the, you know, given all this, they're still required to have building permits, which it all has to be inspected. It goes through the county, they pay their money. So I don't see any room for somebody to come and do something that the neighbor needs to have room to complain and say, I don't like the color of your house. It is the only thing that I'm concerned about.
Right.
And I think
it's not a business that they're putting in, it's a subdivision, right?
Right.
But this has nothing to do with an individual.
Right.
So that should answer the question that he had.
Right. So what I told him was, that's what this meeting was about, was people that had concerns were going to come address those concerns, and that the committee would come up with an outline or, you know,
changes, if we have any.
A formula that would say, okay, we're expecting ivory homes, for example. This is what our expectations are, or our
rules.
And I said, if they follow those, we can't just keep adding more rules because somebody in town.
Because then what you get into, you get into a discrimination thing.
Okay.
And
we adopted that policy last
year. Yeah. And so if the rules are this and they meet this,
then that's and that's what I told them.
Then that's what it needs, you know. Because if you all of a sudden throw in something else to this one but not to this one, then we're gonna have a bad situation.
So as you guys have maybe been thinking about this, I've got a couple of things that I wanted to go over, like water and sewer. If somebody comes and they're going to build a subdivision, we are going to request that they pay for the water and sewer, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. You have to.
And the electrical.
Yep. Yeah,
okay.
You have to.
Are we going to put in there that they are also responsible for the curb and gutter?
They have to.
And sidewalks.
All of that is
in. Yeah, and that was spelled out in here that it has to built according to the spec.
In this, is there a lot size, a minimum, you know, Like if somebody buys 5 inches and they wanna put 20 houses on
there. What is the county, doesn't the county have, so I know when I've submitted building permits or the applications, I've had to tell them the exact lot size.
And yeah, and we require that on the, and I'm not, I've since I've been dealing with the tiny home development, I see that those have specific sizes on those, or you know, the other thing that I had looked up is people wanting to put trailer parks like that are, you know, for RV park, like at the store. And that one requires 2 acres or more to do something like that. So I'm not 100% familiar with the lot size on a specific house, but there would have to be.
I know that there is because...
And we're going to have them work on that one for us to go over our individual...
Yes, and I gave him a copy of that one and they were going to rehab that one and make it a lot more descriptive.
Okay, do we have the right to... Do we have the right to say how big or how small these houses can be? Like, can somebody come in and buy 2 lots and build the mega mansion?
Yeah. They could buy a whole block from somebody and take up the whole thing.
Which again, is that really our neighbor's business of the size we're building our house? As long as it's meeting the specs, as long as it has its own parcel, as long as they have paid for the sewer and the water, at that point, you know, as long as they follow the setbacks.
They're following all the rules.
Yeah, as long as they're following the rules, it really doesn't matter to it shouldn't matter to the neighbor. Okay. As long as stuff's built safe and it doesn't infringe on the neighbors, you know, that's what the setbacks are about, is we're supposed to build 30 foot off of that so we're not shading the neighbors and killing the neighbor's lawn. So as long as they're following those rules, which are already set forth, then at that point, it's not our business. Like,
okay,
you don't want your neighbor to tell you couldn't put a greenhouse up.
Oh, I just had them put their own greenhouse up.
I'm just using that as an example of, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to cross the line of us allowing somebody to shut somebody else down because they don't like something that they're doing.
They don't like the style of
house. As long as they're following the rules, then...
Okay. Those are just my questions that I had. I do have one question, though, is... So, about this last one, city council, but the one, maybe one or two before that, there was somebody that requested water and sewer on their property. And we said no. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember the exact one because I get one a week.
Right.
But
So do we have a policy in place that says that somebody can't build, like, what is our policy on that?
It has to be its own parcel number.
Okay.
So like Blake and Wendy's, for example. They have the little gray house, they're building the big red house.
Right.
When they went to get water and sewer, they couldn't without separating that lot.
Right.
And making 2 different parcel numbers because you can only have 1 hookup per parcel number.
Okay.
So they put a line around the little gray house and then they got a parcel number for the big one.
So then the other stipulation is for you to get a water and sewer hookup, you have to have a set of blueprints and an active building permit in order for the district to do that, which we're ensuring that it's going to be a permanent house and it's not a camp trailer that's going to roll away.
Okay.
So all of that kind of has to happen together. You can't get a building permit without having your blueprints, mm-hmm. but you can't get your water without having your building permit.
Okay.
So all of that has to happen pretty tight to ensure that the whole process goes through, which, like you say, we welcome development and anyone that wants to build a house and contribute. But, yeah, we just have to make sure that we're all getting treated fair.
Okay.
So in this, it says the lot standards, and it says that it will comply to the minimum of what we have in our planning and zoning.
Okay.
And so that means... It has to be 30 feet from the other property line if there's 2 people in that thing, so they have to have a reasonable access for the road, mm-hmm. the sidewalk, their backyards and everything else, and so you just can't stack them in and have a row that you can't get to the next one.
If they don't care about a backyard, then...
So all of that, just like Mike was saying, there is still stuff, because each one of them, because they've had other issues in the county where somebody tried to build the whole entire village on one building permit. That doesn't work. So each house has its own building permit and has to require to the zoning that we get for the city, not just for... But this protects us from the development to do whatever they want.
Right.
They still have to follow the rules. That's what all this is about. But it does lay this out about all the stipulations having to follow our planning and zoning from our town and our county.
Okay, so let me go back to this man that wanted to get the house on wheels, a permit for that. Do we have an ordinance in place that says
mm-hmm.
we do?
We don't. It has to be a permanent.
It has to be,
attached to your property.
It has to be zoned appropriately, first of all, and then they have to have a separate parcel, and then they have to have a building permit, and then they have to have a permanent structure. Like I say, that was Brad's idea over here originally. Is he wanted to put tough sheds down without foundations. So we said, no, they have to be permanent structures with their own power, their own water, their own cement, so it doesn't walk off. And he said, well, it's just I could do those for a lot cheaper, and these buildings, I'm going to be into them about $90,000 per building. We said, well, that's fine.
That's
but,
not our problem.
I mean, so...
And they've been running
out
every day since.
So he did it.
Until next year.
So yeah, that's the stipulation there, is we just have to ensure that again, it's a hazard for the neighbor. If somebody goes and puts a tough shed down that's not bolted to a structure and it rolls over on the top of our car, now we're infringing on our neighbor's rights.
So there is a fifth wheel in town that's connected to power, connected to water, connected to sewer, with no plan of building on that lot. And it has been that way for years. How did that happen?
It got grandfathered in a long time.
No, it hasn't been there that long.
Well, yeah, because I go back and there was stuff 2000. So unless it was like 1990, then there was a regulation in place.
Maybe 4 years, 5 years at the most.
Yeah, and I'm familiar with it. I don't see how it got snuck in there other than... There had to have been an existing water and sewer that they just tied onto.
No.
Did the district go dig into the road? Oh, I remember Garrett told me that story. He brought that up and he said that's exactly why. He said that guy lied to us, and that's why the district tightened the rules up on that. Now that you said that, I remember Garrett saying, yeah. It's just like the guy over here that went and lied about that.
And I know
so
he
are,
said...
So are you talking the one up here on the lane by the park?
No, there's another one.
Because the lane at the park did the law out of that old fruit orchard did the same thing.
So it's down to the south of Mark Martinson.
Oh yeah, straight across from Dawson and Chase, almost, right?
Yeah, kind of, well, not a block north.
We're up the lines.
Yeah. So Raymond Jacobson.
Yeah.
Right across the street to the north of him.
And that's the only thing I can see is, I mean, it has to fall in the district because Garrett's the one that went and dug the road up and put a saddle in and give them water.
And the power company came and gave them power. And I think they probably lied and said they had intentions of building a house. And there are no intentions of that.
At some point, I mean, a person could probably get through the process by coming up with fake plans and submitting them to the county.
Well, yeah, you can buy plans.
But, I mean, all you have to do is go into the county and in my experience, you take your plans in there and they give you the building permit, and once you have that, the district will tie into it.
Yeah.
So unfortunate that they were dishonest, apparently.
Way to go back on this?
Well, what it does is it's like a double standard, and because now we have a tighter policy, we have blah blah blah, but then it's like, well, what about this, and what about this, and what if, you know, and it's like, yeah, I know, I don't know what to say, but I know.
But I can say this, that was under a different administration.
Yes.
So moving forward, this is what we have to do. So in the past, I can't fix what somebody else did.
And it kind of goes back to the same thing with the rec center.
Right.
That we can say, you know, the policy's going to tighten up due to misuse.
Right.
Yeah.
And we can put that in the letter, town letter. So, but anyway, let's accept this policy or not, unless there's more questions about this policy specific.
I make a motion that we approve and accept the planning and zoning policy that was written for us by Hanson Group.
I can second that.
So it's been motion and second that we adopt into our ordinances is that the new subdivision review, new subdivision policy be accepted in town, Emery Town, as a permanent ordinance. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I say we adjourn the meeting.
I motion that we adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Second.
The motion is second that we adjourn the meeting. Meeting adjourned. Yeah.